The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. Last year, in a time that we had been broadcasting only for a short period of time, it was my great pleasure to have a couple of ladies with me, and it was Sarah Trollinger, the founder of House of Hope in Orlando, and Carla Mathis, who is the director of the National House of Hope, an affiliation. We'll get all of those details from her directly, but they were with me on one of the early months when I had actually moved back to Orlando, and it was so great to have them here. It had been years since I'd seen Sarah, but today I'm so excited to welcome back Carla Mathis. Carla is the director of the National House of Hope, and Carla, it's great to have you back, and you're talking to us over the phone line. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, Mike. It is an honor and a privilege to be back with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And, you know, House of Hope is one of those well-known titles, well-known names. This ministry has been around for years. Exactly when did Sarah start House of Hope?
Sarah started House of Hope back in 1985, so we are excited this year. We've been celebrating the 35th anniversary of House of Hope Orlando, which is considered the national affiliate model, and it's just been one miracle after another over the years with how God has just taken the vision that he imparted to her and has grown it over the years. And, you know, what started off as a ministry that was on small little dirt road, two buildings, and they opened with two girls back in 1985. And now it is on 10 acres with 14 buildings that can house 30 residents. And it has now become a model for other houses of hope that are open across America.
Wow.
And God is good. He is faithful.
As I recall, Sarah was saying that she had $200 to her name and somehow got the property with almost a promissory note. It was crazy to hear that story from her, to think that God would just open up the door the way he did, and this wonderful ministry that is the vision that God gave Sarah became a reality. And you said with two young ladies in the beginning, right?
Correct. The two residents, the first two residents were two young ladies in the program. And now the House of Hope Orlando can house 30 residents total, and it's now co-ed. Sarah first started off with girls only. And at that time, they were located off of 30th Avenue there in Orlando. And they had received notification that I-4 was going to be expanding and that their property was going to be taken. And so Sarah contacted the state about getting first right of refusal, and a gentleman came down from the state, and she was talking to him about it, and he just said, well, yeah, we are going to be expanding and taking this property. How much would you want for it? And she said, oh, I don't know, maybe $2 million. And he said, well, I'll get back with you. And it was like a week or two later, he got back with her and he said, okay, we'll give you the $2 million. And so that's what led to where the property currently is located at the end of 36th Street. And that gave House of Hope the opportunity to open up, have 14 buildings on the 10 acres.
It's an amazing investment, $200. And you get a $2 million windfall for a highway going through. That's not a bad deal.
That's a great return on investment, isn't it?
That's right. The ROI is amazing. That's right. Oh, that's such a great story of God's blessing, God's grace, his favor shining it down upon this lady of faith. That
Amen.
And there were so many stories. I know that President Reagan actually took interest when he was in Florida and somebody handed him, or he was reading a newspaper. There's a story about that. Share that story, if you will.
That is correct, yes. President Reagan was coming down to Orlando to dedicate Epcot. And someone had informed Sarah that he would be coming into town. And she really wanted him to come visit House of Hope, if at all possible. And so she prayed about it. And at the time, Charlie Reese was a columnist with Orlando Sentinel. And he wrote an article in the Orlando Sentinel about House of Hope. And so they prayed that Reagan would see this article in the paper. And so sure enough, as Reagan was flying back to D.C. after dedicating Epcot, he did see the article because it was on the front page. And a couple days later, Charlie Reese receives a phone call from someone in President Reagan's office because President Reagan wanted to donate from his personal fund. And this gentleman asked Charlie Reese, hey, you know, the president's wanting to give a donation to House of Orlando. We just want to make sure this organization is legitimate. And Charlie Reese said, absolutely it is. And President Reagan donated $1,000 of his own funds. And then a few years later, he did actually visit House of Hope Orlando, took a tour, and he was given the humanitarian award at one of the dinners. So he attended the dinner that House of Hope Orlando has every year, which is their big fundraiser. It was very exciting. And he gave a second donation as well. So it was very exciting. And that just opened the doors to so many people coming and getting involved with House of Hope Orlando. And it really grew from there. So it was definitely a an answer to prayer, a big answer to prayer.
That's wonderful to have a president of the United States take such personal interest. And I'm sure it was a big deal for Charlie Reese as well to have that realization that the president's reading his article. That's pretty cool. That's amazing. Yeah. And that was 1985 when this all began. And of course, it grew once they got the new property, putting up all these buildings and then seeing the ministry. Whole process was also a work of faith. There were times, you know, these were some difficult times to grow a ministry. And yet, by God's grace, this ministry has had all of its needs met all these years. And you've said now that it's gone from being just a home for kind of what Sarah used to call, as I recall in the old day, throwaway children, throwaway girls. It's now a home for children of both boys and girls are making it their home. And what are the ages of the people that you have there in the home?
The ages of the residents are 13 to 17 years old. And most of them come from broken families. Many of the issues that they deal with have to do with cutting, bullying. And what we find is so much of the time there are, you know, just issues going on within the homes that these kids end up turning to other things to try to fill the void. And oftentimes the father figure is not present. And so what we find when the counselors and prayer ministers are getting to the root of the issue, oftentimes maybe one of the residents has been abused and the parents had no idea that abuse had been going on. Or they've gotten involved in drugs, they're cutting, they're being bullied, what have you. So a lot of it is emotional trauma that the residents have experienced, and they're acting out in the negative behavior.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that is still going on in this day big time. And many people would say because of just the unrest, because of COVID, because of problems, there are many people that are resorting, sadly, young people resorting to these drugs that are so very, very dangerous. And it seems so very available. And it is causing, obviously, many problems in many families. And it leads to such a need as what you guys discover. What kind of waiting list do you have at the House of Hope?
Oh, goodness. There's a waiting list on all the Houses of Hope right now because we have four others across the country. And so I know House of Hope Orlando has had a waiting list as well as House Hope Kansas City, House Hope North Pennsylvania, House Hope Maryland. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we have to be really careful as to that we're adhering to the guidelines who we're accountable to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, Orlando did not have to close the doors. Praise the Lord. God is so good. We did not have to close the doors. Some of the residents, some of the parents, did pull the residents out of fear, but there have been more that have come in. And so, but there has been a waiting list, and all the others, have had a waiting list as well. We've seen a rise in the number of phone calls, and as well as emails from parents looking to find a place.
Now, these different states that you're mentioning, one of them being the state of Maryland, do you find that the regulations going on in Maryland would be somewhat different for your ministry there as it is here in Orlando?
Yes, they are. That's a great question, Mike. It is much more strict in Maryland. And in fact, they almost did have to shut down the one in Maryland. The one in Maryland is a non-residential one, so they just do the counseling in the school there. But they were close to having to shut down. Fortunately, and by the grace of God, one of the board members there was able to talk to with someone who's familiar with some of the legal requirements and guidelines, and they were able to manage to not have to shut down. There was something they had to do, but they were able to continue to work with the residents that they do have, or with the non-residents that they do have there, and so they did not have to shut down.
Wow, that's good news. And Carla, as your role, how long have you been in the current role where you are the director of the National House of Hope?
I took the role as president of National House of Hope last year, in October of last year. And so it's been about a year now that I've been in this role. I was with House Hope Orlando in the past as executive director, and did some consulting with National House of Hope, and then just stepped into the role last year.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's very exciting, and it's an honor and a blessing to be a part of this wonderful faith ministry and just to see how the hand of God moves in it, because it definitely does.
Now, before we began recording this this program, you were telling me that Orlando serves as like the template, the prototype, of the rest of the Houses of Hope. Are there any other big differences in Orlando's House of Hope versus these other places where there is a House of Hope in these different cities?
The program is pretty much the same at each House of Hope. The major difference would be Orlando is the only one that is co-ed. All of the others right now take only girls, and also the size of each one. All the other ones are a little smaller. So Orlando is the largest one, and it is co-ed. The program itself is the same program at each House of Hope. And also, as I mentioned, House Hope Maryland is non-residential right now.
Mm.
But all the others, it's pretty much, they have to. We, National House of Hope, we have a training, 9-step process training that we do with anyone who wants to open a House of Hope. And so in that 9-step process, they are given what's called the training manual. And within the training manual is the program outline. And so National House of Hope oversees all the other Houses of Hope, as well as Orlando, and just ensures that they are adhering to the guidelines of both National House of Hope as well as the entity, whether it's a state entity or non-state entity with whom they are registered.
What's a day like for the residents? Let's go back to Orlando for a moment, since it's right here in Central Florida. What's a day like for the residents that you have there, the young men, the young ladies that are in your program? What encompasses their day?
Well, that's a great question, Mike. They get up in the morning, and they have chores that they have to do before they go to school. So they do their morning chores. They will do devotions in the morning in the house. If it is not chapel day, one day a week they do have chapel day. All the other days they'll get up, they'll do devotions together, they will have breakfast, they'll do the chores, and then they go to school. And the residents are in school until about 3:30 p.m. And then from there they will come back, go back to their residential home, and they will have a little bit of downtime, and then they will have time to do any homework that they might have. They will do some more chores, any cleaning that needs to be done, laundry, that sort of thing. And they will have dinner together in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they will have their evening time together where they will finish up any last-minute chores, homework, that sort of thing. And they will have spend time reading the Word, sharing with one another, and then they go to bed that night. And oftentimes, they will do they do daily activities as well. I will... whether it's the gym or doing something outside, they will also, usually in the afternoon, they will do some type of activity. Because as we all know, teenagers have a lot of energy, and so they need to expel that energy as much as possible. So they may play basketball or do some kind of fun game outside that they enjoy doing.
It's a big responsibility. I know in every home that House of Hope oversees, they've got people, they've got hardworking staff members, but I'm sure that you yes. also have to have a good number of volunteers as well.
Yes, we do. Volunteers are such a blessing, and we are so thankful and grateful for the volunteers that we have at all of our locations. Without them, we cannot do what we do. And so we have so many volunteers that come and do different things with the kids. We have a, I know at House of Orlando, there's a young man who comes and does art once a week with the kids as a volunteer. We'll have volunteers that will come and do music, different types of music, whether it's music lessons or do praise with the kids. Others that will come and go into the gym and do some type of physical activity, basketball with the boys and yoga or some type of exercise with the girls. And we also have volunteers that will come and tutor as well, that will tutor the kids. And we have wonderful volunteers that will come and help with campus cleanup, trimming of trees, mulching, planting of flowers, and just helping clean up the campus. Right now, Orlando has a gentleman who is helping mow the 10-acre campus, and he comes and volunteers and does that. So that's a huge blessing. And we always, you know, you can never have too many volunteers, Mike.
Not with 10 acres. Yes. that's quite a lot of upkeep right there, just all by itself.
Yes, it is. But, I assure you, it is.
But I know that kind of property is so nice to have that kind of room, to have that kind of space, to do all the things that you're doing. Oh, boy, this is great. You know, I just looked back at my log and found that you and Sarah were here last November 14th. So it's been just over a year and five days since you were with us the last time. So we're right on that annual mark here. And it's great to have Carla Mathis. I'll be back with her in a moment. Carla Mathis is the president of the National House of Hope that is based out of Orlando. And she's with us as my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. We're going to be right back. On the line with me is Carla Mathis. Carla is the president. She directs the National House of Hope. And that is the national arm of what has been in Orlando since 1985, when Sarah Trollinger, with $200 and several people praying for her, began the trek of seeing this ministry to young people, initially young ladies. Now House of Hope has grown to be a co-ed campus. And I tell you, God has blessed this ministry so much. It would be one of the more known, one of the greatest in reputation of the kinds of ministries that you were doing, in some ways, really ahead of its time. Because back then, there were fewer ministries that tackled this enormous responsibility. And really, that's really not an overstatement, is it, Carla? It's an enormous responsibility to have something like what you're doing.
Yes, it is, Mike. It's it's such a blessing to be a part of the ministry and just to see how the hand of God moves. It can be challenging, obviously, dealing with some of the it's more about the residents and the emotional trauma that they bring, and no fault of their own, and your heart really becomes connected to these residents and just to the ministry. And, while it is challenging, it is truly one of the most rewarding things you can do. Because when you see how the hand of God and how his love changes the lives of these teens and these families, and you see these teens restored to the parents.
You're right. It's not just the kid that's affected. Oftentimes, the family is just greatly benefited from having their child back with them again, even if they're not living with them in that moment, to have them back in the family again. That's got to be such a blessing.
Oh, it is. It's just priceless. And yes, it is a blessing. And, the domino effect, you change one life in the young person, it has such a ripple effect within the family, because whether it's, the mom and dad, or whether it's a single parent, and then if there are siblings involved, how you can see their lives change as well. I remember a young man who was in House of Hope Orlando about 3 or 4 years ago, and he had a younger brother. And the family lived on the East Coast. They would travel every week an hour to come to parenting. The parents would. And this young man, he did graduate House of Hope, and his little brother, when he graduated, was just so excited. And he got up after the graduation was over, and he just commented, I have my brother back. I'm so excited to have my big brother back. This is the big brother that I knew before. And your heart just melts. And I think the little brother may have been 7, 8 years old, and to hear just a little boy, say that about his big brother, it brings tears to your eyes. So, yes, it is priceless, and it is a blessing beyond measure.
That's a great story and a great truth, and you're right. To have a child that was wayward, perhaps addicted, perhaps in the hands of people that were only leading them down a path that was going to be further in destruction, to have them back, to have them set free, to have them with their eyes on the Lord. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful gift, not only for mom and dad, but like you said, the siblings too. They get to have their big brother back, or a big sister back. That's just a wonderful story. And again, thank you for what you're doing. You've got this big event that's coming up, and it is an important event in the life of House of Hope. It's called Restore Hope. Tell us about that.
Well, Mike, Restore Hope is the National House of Hope End of Year campaign theme. And what we're looking to do with just the chaos, confusion, uncertainty in today's world, and certainly 2020 has been a challenging year for everyone. And amongst this chaos, confusion, rioting, the pandemic, the fear and anxiety, we also see it as a year of opportunity. An opportunity to bring hope and healing and redemption and restoration to those who are hopeless. And, with the challenges and everything, so many of the young people are in such a dark and desperate place. They feel like this world is such a dark and desperate place right now. And we want to be that vessel and that tool to restore hope to these teens and families in Orlando as well as across America. And so we are doing a campaign, a Restore Hope campaign. And a lot of the funds that will be raised in this campaign will be offered to the affiliates to Orlando, as well as some other affiliates, for scholarships for residents to be able to come in whose families cannot afford the program. And in addition, one of the things that National House of Hope is doing, this past year, we're very excited because typically we will have a parenting conference. during the year. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we were unable to have the parenting event in person. We were scheduled to have it in Connecticut back in April. But out of that, we were able to turn it into 4 parenting webinars. So instead of, in lieu of doing just one event, we were able to do 4 parenting webinars and make that available to all of our affiliates, as well as to other churches and other organizations that work with youth. And we recorded those, and we're going to be making those available for anybody who is looking for any type of education or training or parenting help, you know, with their teens and young people. So we're excited about that. So part of the Restore Hope campaign funds will also be going to create and develop more resources that will be used for equipping parents and youth leaders. Mm-hmm. In addition, we're also going to be creating training videos that will be used not just for our staff, but also for others in the way of counseling. So we'll be doing training videos on like de-escalation techniques, suicide prevention, and the issues that House of Hope deals with on a day-to-day basis. So we're very excited about it, and we're just we're trusting God. It's as we do every day, just for him to bring in what we need and to meet our goals.
How can people help in this theme, and obviously through the theme of Restore Hope, how that would be then going to all of these different things that you've mentioned? How can they get in touch?
Well, they can, it's the theme for the campaign, end of year campaign. So they can go to nationalhouseofhope.org.
NationalHouseOfHope.org.
NationalHouseOfHope.org. And also, it's doing it. We'll have it on our Facebook page. It's the National House of Hope Facebook page. They can learn about it. And one of the other things, too, I want to share about Mike that we're really excited about is House of Hope Orlando. Every year, they have 2 major fundraisers, and in the fall is their fashion show fundraiser. And unfortunately, this year, Orlando was not able to do their fashion show at the country club where they typically have it. So they decided to take it virtual. And the fashion show is called Threads of Hope. And it is going to be done virtual on December 3rd at 7 p.m. And it will be on YouTube and on Facebook via the House of Hope Orlando page. Facebook page. And again, that's December 3rd, 7 p.m. It will feature Candace Cameron Bure.
Wow.
And Shonda Pierce will also be featured, and also Chris Palaha, who has appeared in Jurassic Park movie. He's on Hallmark as well. He's an actor. And so we're super excited about that. And that will benefit House of Hope Orlando. And so
now these people, obviously it's a virtual fashion show, which, you know, my friends who are listening to this right now, they're probably laughing as I'm getting ready to say this, because I'm not exactly known as the bastion of fashion. So if it's I'm pretty sure that by the time I'd reach age 40, those genes in my body had begun to die. But I'm trying to imagine a fashion show that is going to benefit House of Hope. Exactly what fill in the details that what that would look like, and would Cameron be doing this like live from wherever virtual point she's doing it, or would these be videotaped? How does that work?
And it's recorded. Yes. Candace Cameron Bure. She is going to be doing the welcoming for the fashion show. But it's really exciting because the teens, Macy's is a big part of it. They supply the outfits for the teens, for them to model in. And so the videos taken there at campus, different locations of the campus. And so they are in outfits that the teens picked out, wanted to wear, and they will also be highlighting some of the interests that the teens have. So I know one young lady, she loves art. So I believe she is going to be holding some art brushes of some kind, and, you know, will possibly be close close to the art room. Another young man, he loves sports, so I think he will be featured near the gym at House of Hope Orlando. So it'll be really fun.
Oh, it sounds like it. And it's yet another way that people can get involved, have fun, but be a blessing, and to see this great work go forward, because it takes money to do anything in life, and especially to have a home that I have no idea what the target cost would be, what you imagine the figure. I'm sure you probably have it down, what it actually costs on an annual basis to have a young person be a resident, to have all their needs, all of the schooling, all of the food, all of the medical care, and all the housing, my goodness, clothing, etc. It's got to be up there, right?
Yes, it is. The average cost per teen at House of Orlando per month is $3,000. That includes the schooling that they receive, that includes the living expenses, the housing, that includes the counseling that they receive. The food that they eat, that includes everything.
Wow.
So you figure, you know, 1 year at $3,000 a month, you know, that gets on up there.
$3,000 a month, $36,000 a year. And then you take, how many residents do you have?
Right now we have seven in Orlando.
Seven in Orlando. So you do the math and you can see that that's quite an undertaking on the part of House of Hope. So, oh my goodness, this is something that people can get involved with. The fashion show, again, give us the Orlando is, I believe it's OrlandoHouseOfHope.org. Is that right?
It's House of Hope Orlando.
I had it backwards. I'm sorry.
Yeah, HouseOfHopeOrlando.org and then NationalHouseOfHope.org. You can go onto that website, find our locations, and also, you know, Restore Hope, like I said, is our end of year theme, that and the funds raised for that will be going towards scholarship funds as well as, you know, developing resources for all of the affiliates.
Tremendous.
And families.
And the theme Restore Hope will continue through, I guess, until the end of this year?
Correct. Yes.
Well, we wish you the very best on that one. And I'm praying that the monies that come in, the pledges that come in, the help that comes in would be even greater than what you guys are praying for. That would be my prayer.
Thank you, Mike. We're excited. We're trusting God. And right now we do have four individuals who want to start a House of Hope in their areas. One is in Las Vegas, one in Mississippi, one in San Antonio, Texas, and another one in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, you know, we're going to be training those starting in January. And so the funds that are raised through Restore Hope will help us help these others get up and running, because we know that there's a need and we want to meet that need, definitely.
So how many National House of Hope centers besides Orlando are there?
Right now there are four other Houses of Hope.
So you're almost doubling
that. That are up and running, yes. Kansas City, House of Hope Kansas City, House of Hope York, Pennsylvania, House of Hope Maryland, and House of Hope Foothills, which is in Hickory, North Carolina.
Wow.
And those are all operating. And like I said, we have four others who are interested in opening a House of Hope in their respective areas. And we actually just received a phone call about a month ago from a lady who is based in Orlando, but she's originally from Jamaica. And her nephew went through the program, House of Hope Orlando, several years ago. And she really wants to start a House of Hope in Jamaica.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
We're excited about that.
Yep. Could get into the Caribbean and beyond from there. So this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Does Sarah have any idea? It seems like she had a number when she was here last November. There seemed like there was a number or a goal that you guys might have in the back of your mind that you're hoping to see happen.
As far as the number of Houses of Hope to open?
Yes.
I know the goal is to have a House of Hope open within driving distance of every major city throughout the U.S.
That's what it is.
So,
yeah.
You know, a specific number. There's a lot of major cities throughout the U.S.
Yeah, there are. Oh, my. Well, you guys are looking at what could potentially be an exponentially growing year in 2021. And I'm praying that does indeed happen. I'm talking to Carla Mathis. She's the president of the National House of Hope. And it's the arm that extends out from Orlando, from the prototype campus that was started back in 1985 by Sarah Trollinger. And this is an outreach to boys and girls. Started off just being with ladies. Now they have a co-ed campus, and they do everything to help these kids who were once regarded perhaps as throwaway. They might have been runaways, but God has rescued them, and they're growing in all of these ways. It's a wonderful ministry. And Sarah Trollinger has been the face of this ministry all these years. And now Carla Mathis is doing a wonderful job in growing it nationally. And we're going to be back with Carla coming up for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. It is my joy to have Carla Mathis on the line today. Carla is the president of the National House of Hope. And this ministry has been around since 1985, doing a marvelous work. In segment one, we talked about the fact that then President Reagan even took note and was actually moved to give out of his own checkbook. That's such an amazing thing to realize that Charlie Reese, back then, one of the writers for the Orlando Sentinel, had featured the House of Hope and Sarah Trollinger, and the President of the United States is reading that article and gives, and then not only that, but came down, I believe he prayed a prayer of dedication over the House of Hope, and boy, oh boy, what a wonderful story House of Hope has been since then. And then it begins to grow beyond just Orlando. It's going now into all these different states that you've mentioned. I think I heard North Carolina, Maryland, Kansas City, and there was one more. Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
There you go. Pennsylvania's been in the news a lot lately, but for different reasons. But now you're talking about four additional houses of hope, basically in view. And then beyond that, a potential reach into the Caribbean, into Jamaica. This is exciting. You guys are growing.
It is exciting, Mike. Yes, God is so good. And, we could script this if we tried. Only God could. But, yes, we have the other houses of hope that you mentioned in those locations. And we have four others who are interested in opening a house of hope in their location that have just reached out to us this year. One in Las Vegas, one in Mississippi, and one in San Antonio, and another one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And about a month ago, I received a phone call from a lady who she grew up in Jamaica, and she relocated to Orlando several years later, but her nephew went through the House of Hope Orlando program and graduated, and she really just has a heart for teens and families, and she's wanting to open a House of Hope in Jamaica, so that would take us international. So we're real excited, and we're just looking forward to working with these individuals and doing the training that's required. You know, it's a nine-step process. When Sarah started House of Orlando, she basically put it on paper. She and some others got together and put it on paper what they did to open up House of Orlando. And it's a nine-step process. And so that's basically the training manual for all these houses of hope that have opened and that will open. And we're implementing some other things in with that to go along with it. But we're excited. We're looking forward to start the training in January of next year. It will be done virtually, unfortunately, due to COVID. Typically, we do in-person training on campus. The people will come down. They will spend about 4 to 5 days there at the Orlando campus, meet the staff, meet the residents, and get the training in person. But as COVID has become so prevalent in today's society right now, we will be doing it virtually starting in January. And so while we will miss the in-person, we will look forward to the in-person, meeting these individuals in person down the road.
You know, there's a lot of people scratching their heads every day about this COVID thing, and it does still seem that there are markers that would indicate that our reaction to it is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I know that's not to say that it's not a problem, and my heart goes out to anyone who's been affected, especially the families who have lost people. But with all of this, there's such a controversy going on even to this very day. New York yesterday deciding to shut down one of the biggest school systems in the country, not just in New York, but in the country. And the ripple effect is causing this thing. I talked to Jeff McLaughlin on the show a couple of days ago when he was here. He's a marriage coach and a pastoral counselor at First Baptist in Orlando. And he had he said it wasn't original to him, but he talked about the term that's been coined that says COVID fatigue. Are you seeing that in House of Hope? Does that ring a bell to you and what you're seeing, the fact that people are really suffering from COVID fatigue?
Yes, we are seeing that, Mike. And, you know, by the grace of God, fortunately, our Houses of Hope were able to stay in operation, all the different locations, with the exception of Pennsylvania. They did have to temporarily shut down, send the residents home. They were able to continue to do counseling via Skype or some type of virtual platform and stay in touch with the residents and with the parents as well. So, but they have since reopened. And then I know House of Hope Maryland, which is non-residential anyway, they just continue to do what they did via, you know, via virtually. But all the others were able to stay in operation, but it certainly, you know, going back to your question, COVID fatigue, yes, we are seeing the ripple effects of that. And we're also seeing a rise in the number of calls and emails that we're receiving from parents who are looking for a place, who are needing help for their teenagers. In fact, I just received an email last week from a lady in California looking for a place for her daughter who is locking herself up in the bathroom. She's not eating. And this young lady, the teenage daughter, she definitely has just become really withdrawn. She's not able to go to school because the school system has been shut down. So she's not able to interact with her peers. And so she's having to stay home. She's on this electronic device all day trying to keep up with school. And it's just, it's taken a toll on the young people. And we're starting to see a rise just in the, you know, even the number of suicide attempts, as well as just thinking about suicide and depression and that sort of thing. So we're definitely seeing the effects from it.
Well, I tell you what, our heart goes out to every parent who's dealing with it. I know one of the things before all of this COVID stuff started that was already at epidemic kind of like levels was the opioid crisis going on. And I know that that started off to, with some people, it starts off, you know, maybe even with an injury and ends up in an addiction. And it's just an awful thing to realize that these kids who are now dealing with the whole depression that comes from just being isolated. And you know, there's this certain thing that we've just got to remember, Carla, that God is, you know, he's there even in a dark time like this. God is still here. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to keep reminding people over and over. It's what I'm reminding myself over and over. Yes. God's sovereign, and he's going to help us through this. But this is a real battle. It's a real battle. And it is something that all of us, whether or not your kid is in the point of needing a service, a program to be a part of like House of Hope or not, they're dealing with something. They're dealing with some level of this affront on our young people today. And the drug mess is there. And I know that you've probably dealt with a fair amount of it there at House of Hope.
Yes, we have. Mike, it has definitely, there has been a rise, as you mentioned, there's been a rise in the opioid crisis just over the last 2 to 3 years. We've seen a drastic increase in the number of kids at our different locations who, you know, started dabbling with, you know, whether it was pot or something, but vaping has become such a huge thing amongst these young kids. And what we have learned from the different counselors that we have working with us and consulting with us is these young kids don't realize what is in the mixture of when they are vaping, and what they're doing is taking whatever this mixture is and they're mixing it, liquefying, whether it's heroin or whatever the case, and it's so much more strong than if they were just to do the regular. And these young kids don't realize the effects of what they're putting in their body and how quickly it can just stop the heart. And so it's really some really sad statistics. And, our goal is to educate, you know, not just the parents, but it's also to educate teachers, anyone involved in the life of the youth, of what the dangers are, what the signs are of the different issues and that sort of thing. And I recall back in August, I believe it was, we had Dwight Bain, who is a local counselor in Orlando.
Yes, he's been on my program before.
Yes, he's wonderful. And he did one of the webinars that we had, and he was sharing the story of a young lady who I believe he said she was 7 years old, and it was a 7-year-old little girl, 7 or 8 years old, and someone had made a really negative, hurtful comment to her, and in regards to "you'd be better off dead," I think was the comment that someone had made to her.
Oh.
And she went home and she got on, whether it was an iPad, computer, some kind of electronic device, and Googled how to commit suicide, and she did. And it's just, it's heart-wrenching, it's gut-wrenching, and it breaks my heart. And so we really want to be that force out there in the community and across America to get the word out. What are the signs of these issues, and how can we help these young people so that these lives are saved, and that we don't lose any more of these lives, because they are precious and they are our future.
Boy, it is so true. There's a movement going on I just have learned about called Let Us Worship. I'm going to be talking more about it, but it's a movement greatly of young people, perhaps college age, young adults, and it's happening all over the country right now. And I'll be sharing more about this as we get a bigger handle on it. But it is a force for the Lord and a movement of people that will at least give us another, I believe, another option for these young people to think about, to look at, and to say, you know, life, while it's rough, while it's difficult, it's not anything that they have to do what that young lady did to end her life so tragically. It's sad. It just makes me all the more glad for the wonderful thing that House of Hope is doing, not only in Central Florida, but all these other states. Carla Mathis, I want to say thank you for being with me here today. Now, give us a recap on Restored Hope. What's happening with that, real quick?
Yes, and thank you, Mike, for having me. Restore Hope is National House of Hope's end-of-year campaign that will help us raise the funds to continue to just reach more teens and more families across America, and to provide the resources to these teenagers as well as to the parents and our affiliates that we have across America. And the website is www.nationalhouseofhope.org, nationalhouseofhope.org. And so we are so grateful and thankful for our supporters and for those who pray for us and financially support us. And thank you, Mike, for having me on. It's a blessing.
Well, glad to have you here, Carla. That again is houseofhopeorlando.org or the nationalhouseofhope.org. The two websites you can go to. and become part of that. And let's see together hope come back to the hearts of so many people, so many families. And we're coming up, you know, we're coming up to the holidays. It's a sad reality that Christmas time is one of the most difficult times emotionally for people who are going through this hopelessness. So what a wonderful theme you've chosen, to restore hope to those who are without it. Carla Mathis, thank you so very much. And friends, thank you for being with me here today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.